This is the Starter Pack.
But you can't see what happened yesterday and not think, I know this guy's good. Now, how great can he be? Jordan Love is fully cemented in that position.
100%.
And now it's how high can he go?
Now, here are your hosts, Max Meyerson and Josh DiMaggio.
It's the Starter Pack back with you with a first round recap. You're joined here by the one and only Alex Strofe, who was on the call yesterday, who comped Jordan Morgan, tackle from Arizona, to Derek Sherrod right out of the gate. He was Mr. Pessimism. I think he's warmed up a little bit in our earlier conversations here. Max is along for the ride with us, but you've been able to sleep on it.
Mm-hmm.
You've been able to think about it, maybe grind a little highlight tape, maybe watch him against Leatu.
Yeah.
On Twitter. See him get out on some screens. How you feeling about the Jordan Morgan pick?
All right. So first off, you are just pulling no shots early.
What?
I didn't say he's Derek Sherrod. I just said he's more Derek Sherrod than he is Brian Bulaga. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah. Well, sorry I didn't quote you directly, but you were a hater.
I wasn't necessarily a hater. Derek Sherrod was an all-time bust, but injuries didn't help him, okay? He was still a first-round guy, first-round tackle, and it's the first one they've picked since Derek Sherrod in 2011. Yes, I've slept on it. I've grinded the film, Joshy. I have come to the following evaluation.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Offensive line depth is always good. I don't know if he's a day-one starter, but I think he's a long-term fit. And he's played a lot of football. He comes in with a lot of experience. He scored over 9 on the RAS, which we know Goody loves and worships. So overall, I'm fine with it. I thought they would go offensive line. I was a little bit more married to the idea of Graham Barton, who went the immediate pick after. But O-line depth is good. I'm in for it. I'm good.
There's plenty of conversation to be had about why the selection wasn't Graham Barton. There's plenty of discussion of why it wasn't Cooper DeJean. Max and I actually had a bet about offensive line or corner, and then how does Cooper DeJean figure in if they announce him as a safety? How do we call that? But Max, what was your initial reaction?
Well, my first reaction was when the Lions traded up ahead of them by one pick and took Terrion Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
I think that signaled to me that that would have been the guy for them at that spot. And then when they had to pivot, the question was, okay, what are they going to pivot to? Are they going to go to the second best corner on their board, which I think we'd assume was Cooper DeJean or maybe Kool-Aid McKinstry? No, they went offensive line, and they went the best offensive lineman on their board. And who are we to say that Jordan Morgan's not going to be better than Graham Barton? Like, you could be sitting here way happier they took Graham Barton, and Jordan Morgan ends up going 31 overall to the Niners and ends up being an all-pro.
Like, totally.
We don't know anything as of right now. They went the position of need. I don't think it's this big overreaction. He was actually a betting favorite to be a first-round pick in the
draft.
Was he? Yes.
Mm-hmm. When did that change? Because that was a name I did not hear a lot of.
That was, I think his line was set at like 31 and a half. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, Max.
So he was like minus 120 to be a first-round
pick. It was fringe. He was mocked as I text you furiously as I was getting mad at you and Homer's initial reaction to the pick last night.
I asked you to call in.
His sleep is 10 p.m. You think I can do that in the house? I'd get kicked out. I'd be sleeping on the streets. You don't have a house
just like
yet.
Just like me.
You don't have anywhere to stay yet, so I'd be staying on the couch in your couch that you're staying on. So there's two things I do want to add, because the trade-up was a thing that kind of made everyone raise their eyebrow. It is a division rival. Jason Wilde joined us and said basically after Goody spoke that Goody indicated that the Lions reached out to the Packers about the Terrion Arnold pick. And they said, no, we've got our guy. We know who we want, which seems to indicate that they knew they're going to take Arnold and they just didn't care. So that is a good thing in terms of you didn't get sniped, because we all remember Brandon Ayuk. Could he be doing subterfuge? Could he be lying about that? Potentially, but
Hold on, time out. Subterfuge. It's a word I've heard a ton this week that I'd never heard prior. How long ago did you learn that word?
I've known the word subterfuge for a long time. It's not commonly used. It just basically means you're trying to make people think one thing while you're thinking the other.
Okay, you are a sophisticated individual, so that doesn't shock me. All right, continue. Sorry to interrupt.
So that part was interesting to me because with the way the board broke for the Packers and Quinion Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeJean all being there way later than we all thought initially, If the Packers wanted one of those guys, they go get him. They have the draft capital.
Subterfuge.
Capital to do it. So to me, I think Jordan Morgan was kind of the plan as soon as all those offensive tackles flew off the board. And then there's also the aspect of, like, Jordan Morgan surprised a lot of us, but Mel Kiper's first mock had it. A lot of people, Max just mentioned, he was mentioned there. Bill Belichick said, I don't think this guy's getting out of the first round if the Packers were to pass on him. And then the fact of, pretty simply, I think the Packers view Jordan Morgan as a tackle, and they view Graham Barton as either a center or guard, which, as we all know, the more important of the two positions would certainly be the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I'm happy, fine with the pick. It's an offensive lineman. You can only get so high about an offensive lineman.
It's never sexy when you take an offensive lineman.
I mean, people were the Chargers fans. They showed them, and they were mad about Joe Alt. And it's like, you're mad about the 6'8 guy with a NFL pedigree who is like from Notre Dame. Like, what else do you want here?
If I had to place my money on one draftee from last night to make the Hall of Fame, I'm putting my money in the camp of Joe Alt.
Yeah, yeah. That guy seems to be the one everyone kind of was like, yeah, that's the pick. I mean, we nailed it in our mock draft. Establish the run, protect him. We know what Jim Harbaugh wants to do.
Who the hell is Justin Herbert throwing to is a topic for another day. But
you got Quentin Johnson. Hopefully he catches a few and doesn't win the Packers a game single-handedly.
Exactly.
When you look at it, if you could go back, who would you want to take at 25? Say Jordan Morgan isn't there. Is it just Coop-a-loop?
I wouldn't have mind them moving up for a Quinyon Mitchell. I mean, once he was there, where did he go, 22, 23? 22 to the Eagles, I think it was. So now Jordan Love has to throw against Quinyon Mitchell week one in Brazil, by the way. But nonetheless, he was the guy I fell in love with in the defensive backfield. I didn't think he'd be available in the 20s. But at 25, if they stay put, other than Jordan Morgan, I don't know, Joshy. And I don't mean to derail this with line talk, but I feel more comfortable with Rashid Walker at left tackle than I do with Josh Myers at center.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have been happy with a center replacement in the first round, but I don't mind the pick now that I've slept on it. I minded it obviously extensively yesterday. Now, what I'm curious about here in day two, Coop-a-loop, who you bring up, is still on the board.
Yeah.
The Packers have pick 41.
Mm-hmm.
Do they move up, or does Coop-a-loop fall 9 more picks?
Yeah. To have a brief conversation, everybody mocked Cooper DeJean to the Packers.
Since day one, yeah.
Everybody thought, hey, when he did his pro day, I think Max and I said it on this very program, like, hey, you're probably going to have to go up to get him. Now we know the NFL doesn't view him as a first-round pick. It's frankly that simple. Maybe there's teams who drafted themselves a quarterback that do view him as, but when we see the NFL tell us, hey, we think Jordan Morgan's a first-round pick. Hey, we don't think Cooper DeJean is. I think that's interesting, and I know we're going to do the comparison shopping for the rest of these two guys' career along with Graham Barton. But for Goody, I think he makes 4 picks today. Now, he can get up without using any of those picks to trade up or, you know, like you tack on, obviously, you swap picks and then you add a 4th-round pick to get higher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's Cooper DeJean, though. They got Kool-Aid McKinstry, who they had in. There's a Edgerrin Cooper is also going to be a guy in this range.
And they brought him in, yeah.
I think you have, at this point, Goody, you have 11 draft picks. If you draft them all, I think he has like 4 roster spots available for UDFAs. Like, be aggressive. You didn't do it in the first. You let the first come to you. You seem to be happy with it. I think you trade up, right, Max?
I mean, I think he made a calculated decision in taking Jordan Morgan, betting that who of the two would be more likely to be there at some point early in the second round, Cooper DeJean or Jordan Morgan. And if Bill Belichick's right saying that he doesn't think Morgan would have got out of the first round, even if the Packers didn't take him there, then they're right. Cooper DeJean is sitting right there, and there's a chance that he falls a couple more picks, and you can move up and go grab him. Now, this is the Green Bay Packers we're talking about, and I've been here for 3 years now, and you guys have seen the last 3 years.
We have.
When we all sat there in those first-round picks, the last 3 years has just been a giant disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time. We wanted them to take somebody. They want to take a wide receiver. They go defense. We wanted to take Cooper DeJean. They take Jordan Morgan. They're always, you know, burning us in the first round. But in the second round, they actually have a pretty good track record lately.
Lately, yeah.
Especially last year. And, I mean, yeah, they moved up to get Christian Watson 2 years ago. They got Jaden Reed in the second round last year. They got, you know, two tight ends in the on day two as well. I think that they're going to be aggressive because they have so many picks here on day two. I think they're going to move up. And whether it's for Cooper DeJean or somebody else, I don't know. But I know that they're going to make some big moves here.
So I'm a firm non-believer in draft grades. But I think your grade certainly improves if you make some action happen here on day two, right? Four picks on day two, as we keep bringing up. This will ultimately dictate the status of the fan base, the happiness of the fan base on what they do through the two rounds today. And to your point, Max, right? Like, you think back to last year, Goody crushed it on day two. And it translated all year long. Jaden Reed was huge. The tight ends were huge. Day two was a really, really, really big day for the Packers in the draft last year in terms of guys that would actually make an impact during the 2023 quote-unquote rebuilding season. So what he does today can certainly separate you from a division contender, a wild card team, to a dead contender, a serious contender overall in the NFC.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about where we were this time last year, everybody was the same way. They were upset that they took Lucas Van Ness in the first round. They wanted a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And what did they do on day two? They got three weapons, mm-hmm. and they all ended up being huge pieces for them this next season. So with the picks they have, they're obviously going to, you know, make something happen today, make some splashes, and redeem themselves from round one. But I have a question for you two as Packer fans.
Uh-oh.
Because I know you hate the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. I do. That's accurate.
I mean, Did they crush that draft?
All right. Just us here, right? Nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening.
Yeah, they crushed that. They crushed it.
I said this on Jen Gabe and Chewy earlier. I've been scared of draft picks that the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears have made in the past. And until the Bears prove to me that they can put it on the field and make it happen, I'm going to have my doubts. Now,
Josh, it's just us here.
Prove it. I was afraid of Justin Fields. I thought he was the answer. I thought he was going to fix everything. Now, Caleb Williams has probably the best surrounding cast we've seen for a top five pick, like maybe ever.
Yeah.
But it's still Matt Eberflus. It's still the McCaskies. There's still a lot going on here. And frankly, Caleb Williams is going to have to come in and produce almost instantly. When you have that much talent surrounding you, that draft pick, to me, they got two top 10 picks, but they were going to have two top 10 picks no matter what, unless they traded back. I don't know if building an even stronger wide receiver room is the way the Bears are going to win football games moving forward. Roma Dunze.
It's a long term play, though, Josh. Yeah.
Yeah, sure, it's a long term.
Keenan Allen isn't a long term answer.
But good teams draft offensive linemen. Bad teams add auxiliary picks, sexy picks.
Yeah, it worked out okay for the Texans last year.
It worked okay, but they didn't draft a top 10 wide receiver. They took Tank Dell, who ended up being incredible. So if Roma Dunze seems to be great, but until those two guys put it on the field, I'm going to go, sure, you're the Bears. Prove to me you're not the Bears. It's that simple for me.
I guess I get the thought process, but I view this one as different. And to take what your question a step further, Max, is they've not only crushed day one of the draft, they've crushed the whole offseason.
Yep.
Right? We mentioned a guy like Keenan Allen, who probably doesn't have a lot of football left, but he still plays pretty solid football. Defensively, they were a really solid defense last year, and we can never expect progression, but I would guess they might be a top 10 defense this year. So pretty much as long as Caleb Williams doesn't stink, let's keep in mind, despite having the number one pick, this was a 7-win team a year ago. They could be a 9-8 team. And that worked out pretty okay for the Packers last year, who won a playoff game. So, yeah, I'm a little bit worried about the Bears.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, and just the entire division. When you look at it now, we love how we feel about the Packers.
Yeah, totally.
Skill position players and offense. I mean, look at the division now. You've got
it's stacked.
The Bears with their receiving core right now is maybe one of the best in football. The Lions obviously have weapons up and down the roster. The Vikings still have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. Now we'll see what J.J. McCarthy is. But they also just added Aaron Jones,
correct,
who I think we all agree was the best weapon on the Packers last season.
Yeah.
I mean, This is a seriously competitive division right now, and the Packers, yeah, they got their work cut out for them still.
Yeah, the only thing that gives me solace is I don't really care who plays quarterback for the Vikings. They're going to be the worst quarterback in the division,
Yeah.
Whether that's McCarthy or Darnold. When you look at the Bears, to Josh's point, Caleb Williams still has to prove it, right? I know he's a much better prospect than say, Bryce Young, who was drafted number one overall a year ago. But the Bears still need to prove it. The Lions are probably the prohibitive favorite until proven otherwise, but I love where the Packers are at. I think undeniably they got better in round one of the NFL draft. They lack offensive line depth, and even if Jordan Morgan ends up being a day one starter in place of Rashid Walker at left tackle, so be it. I still view it as a long-term upgrade. So I think every team got better yesterday, and maybe not the Vikings because I don't know how I feel about J.J. McCarthy, to be real honest with you, but I don't think he can throw to his left side. So hopefully Addison, Hockenson, and
he can't throw left.
And Jefferson are all on the right side of the field.
Report on J.J.
He was missing. So the news about him was the same as Zach Wilson from years previous. Best pro day I've ever seen was what scouts were saying. He was missing guys on the left side of the field who weren't covered. And it's like, yeah, he made that amazing throw on the run a la Zach Wilson that we saw where he threw it like 60 yards while on the run and it was a dime. But then he just dropped back and tried to throw it to his left and it didn't work. So it is what it is. I'll tell you what, I would rather have J.J. McCarthy in his youth than Michael Penix at his big age.
Yeah. Michael Penix was the shock of the
that
draft.
That was unbelievable. I love that pick and also why? Do not understand it at all at the same time.
I mean, I like Michael Penix.
That's why. But
I don't like Michael Penix when he spent $160 million on a quarterback this offseason or whatever it was, $130 million.
Okay, but then you say, okay, well, you know, the Packers happen to have an all-time Hall of Fame great quarterback.
But this isn't the Packers route. Kirk Cousins isn't an all-time great quarterback,
no, but
and this is year one
but
for
him. But he's a good quarterback that's, you know,
coming off of an Achilles tear.
Yes. I mean, now you have a backup.
Jordan Love's entering his fourth year as a player in the NFL. Michael Penix is like a year younger than Jordan Love at this point. And I think people really underrate age. Yeah, Michael Penix and Bo Nix looked good because they were the oldest guys on the field by like two or three years.
And just to take it a step further, it's Love's fifth year, actually.
Yes. It's his fifth year. So at this point, I mean, Bo Nix is even older. His age is even bigger, which is a concern. I mean, Brandon Whedon is the furthest extent of it when he was drafted at 28.
We don't need to talk about
by the Cleveland Browns.
Why not? I thought he was going to save the franchise as like 38-year-old rookie.
Trent Richardson, Brandon Whedon, what a draft.
I mean, at the time, though, as a Browns fan?
Hey, we followed it up a couple years later with Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel. So we're just, boom, you boom. Know, when you draft two players and a quarterback, there's no.
Browns make a pick last night?
Nope.
Their
pick was Deshaun Watson for 3 years in a row.
Yeah, that one seems to be working great. All right, before I let you go, Sterl, this is a question for everyone in the room. Two positions. The Packers have four picks. I want you to nail down what those two positions you think go for sure today to the Packers.
For sure today?
Yes.
Oh, so this is not the moment where I say running back.
No.
Although
you
think
there's
they
a
may,
third round running back.
They may. I think it's likely an early day thing tomorrow. But, okay, can I say defensive back or do I have to say safety or corner?
You can say defensive back.
Okay, I'm going to hedge a little bit. I'm going to say defensive back for sure, and I'll go linebacker as well. I think they go defense heavy after the offensive pick in the first round.
Go ahead, Max.
Couldn't agree more. I was going to say those
same
things.
Yeah. Edrin Cooper
will be a
Packer. I was
going to say defensive back as well, not even corner.
Edrin Cooper will be a Packer by the end of the day.
Ooh.
Wow. Interesting. I don't agree on linebacker. I think they do add a linebacker. I just don't know if it's today. That third spot, who knows? Maybe they think they can find themselves.
Who are their starting linebackers right now?
Name
the three.
Isaiah McDuffie,
Quay
Eric
Walker.
Wilson, and Quay Walker.
Yet, sexy.
You know how often Jeff Hafley plays that third linebacker?
How often?
15% of the time.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So it's McDuffie and Quay?
Yes, right now. And
I don't feel great about
the depth. You can definitely upgrade McDuffie. I think the Packers like him.
But he's coming off an ACL, isn't he?
No, he injured. He's injured, but I don't know if he's coming off ACL.
No, that's Enagbare. I'm screwing him up with the edge.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the two positions I think today, for sure, I think there's another offensive lineman going off the board to the Packers.
Wouldn't doubt it.
And then the other one, I think I agree with corner. I think there's a D-back or corner in there. Is it Max Melton? Is it Kool-Aid McKinstry? I don't think people had ill-placed desire for the cornerback. I do think the Packers feel better about it, but they also look across at Eric Stokes and go, this might be the last year you're a Packer. So we'd like to have more options than just Carrington Valentine, who I think is better than people are giving him credit for, but you can always upgrade that position.
You let me hedge. I'm not going to let you. You say offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Interior or tackle?
I think you could, who knows? They could announce Patrick Paul who as a tackle, but they view him as a guard.
I don't even know who that is.
That's the kid out of Houston.
I thought you just made that
No. name. That's a kid out of Houston who tweeted out last week that he was for sure going to be a first-round pick. In the first, all 32 picks went off the board. He was not.
He's got confidence. That's nuts. I want him in the locker room.
I think Tanner Bordellini is a possibility in the third round. I think Mason McCormick from South Dakota State is also an option. I think they're, I mean, it's what the Packers do. They draft a guy who's a tackle who might end up as a guard.
Right.
They drafted Zach Tom as a center, and now he's playing right tackle and a damn good one. Yeah. So I think it's probably going to be a guy who played tackle in college, and then everyone just goes, yeah, you're probably a better fit on the interior because I just think they need added depth. Well, that'll do it.
Wow.
Alex Stroff, myself, Gabe Neitzel will be on. Will be digi-only, as Tosh likes to say, for the full second and third round. Stroff will dip out on us because he's got bigger and better things to do. Is that correct?
Bigger and better things to
do?
What's better than the third round of the NFL draft, Stroff?
And hanging out with me.
Should I be honest?
Yeah.
I want to get a fish fry. I'm not even joking.
I mean, this guy.
I worked late last night, all right? Friday, all right? Give the guy a break.
I'm taking this straight up the chain, reporting this to all your higher-ups. Oh, I'm going to report it to Ben Brust as well, but I thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Coming up next, we'll talk a little more about the second and third rounds of the draft. This is the Starter Pack. There's only 9 more picks to happen in the second round before the Green Bay Packers are back on the clock in the 2024 NFL Draft. There's a lot of recognizable names, a lot of names we talked about on this very podcast, a lot of names that were talked about as picks that might go off in the first round yesterday. We're going to discuss kind of where we think the Packers are going to go, how active they plan to be, and what guys we might think are potential landing spots for the Green Bay Packers. First of all, the pick 41. Now, if you were to pick any of these picks that get moved and the Packers move up for, is 41 the most likely one so the Packers can kind of get another bite at those first, second-round talent guys for the Packers, Max?
Yeah, to me, they only go up if it's to get one of the two corners between Kool-Aid McKinstry and Cooper DeJean. I think those are the two guys who I feel most confident are probably going to be gone by this pick. Maybe Jerzon Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois, would be the other guy in that situation. But if they're going to go like linebacker, like Edger and Cooper, or one of these other positions, I feel like they're probably just going to stay put. I would agree with you that this would be the spot to move up. Like we said 2 years ago, they moved up early in the second round to go grab Christian Watson, who was their guy. I think that would be the spot to move up to probably get one of those two corners.
What's been interesting sort of during this draft process for the NFL teams, you've heard a lot of leaks of where after the first round and some of those offensive tackles started to go off, a lot of teams view the next 50 picks as sort of interchangeable, meaning they have a similar draft grade or a draft position for a lot of these guys. Now, with the way the draft shook out and the names remaining, Kool-Aid McKinstry was a guy the Packers did have come in and do one of their visits with. There's also names here that are tied to the Packers in terms of athletic thresholds, which I know there was some false reporting last night on the ESPN Wisconsin draft special that Jordan Morgan didn't fit the thresholds. He did, in fact. He had fit them all along. So you can rest assured the Packers did not go out of their usual draft thresholds to do it. The important one, which is interesting and I don't know what you think about it, but the 10-yard split matters a lot to the Packers, and it's basically anything under 1.7 or 1.8. Jordan Morgan ran a 1.69 10-yard split in his 40-yard dash. He didn't run any agility drills, which kind of makes you wonder because the three cone is something the Packers also heavily rely on. So either they have information on that or, you know, he was unable to because of the reconstructed ACL for Jordan Morgan that happened in 2020. And just a quick aside before we get into this, there was something when I was reading more about Jordan Morgan, because I knew of him as a prospect. I knew him as a possibility. As I said, he was mocked. But there was two things that stuck out to me when I went to read more about Jordan Morgan. It was one that he tore his ACL. I keep saying it.
It's close. It's on a leg.
They are on legs. He tore his ACL, missed two games to end the season, missed all of spring football and camp, but then played the rest of the season like without skipping a beat. And in the year previous, he had a high ankle sprain that basically affected him the entire season, and he just played and practiced through it. Now, if you remember, obviously, we don't want to say David Bakhtiari necessarily could go and couldn't, but there was the Jair injury and what Matt LaFleur kind of was a little cagey about. This is the type of guy that's going to play through injury, and I think the Packers are saying we're sick of that. We're sick of injuries we think you can play through causing you to sit out. So I thought that was interesting. But there's names here in the second to third round which have all been tied to the Packers in some way. There's the Cooper DeJean, Jerzon Newton, Kool-Aid McKinstry. We also have Rakestraw from Missouri, Brandon Fisk from Florida State, Neyland, which is one of my favorite picks for the Packers to take, and then Edgerrin Cooper, as we mentioned, Junior Colson, and Chris Jenkins. If the Packers trade up, you think it's got to be for defensive back. Would you be surprised if it was one of these defensive linemen in Newton, Fisk, or Neyland?
I would be, if they traded up for anybody other than Newton, I would be surprised of that group. Like I said, I think there's probably three guys they would trade up for. Kool-Aid, Cooper DeJean, and Newton. The rest, I feel like, are either not as, are more likely to fall to them and also more easily, okay, we can just move on to the next guy. Like, I don't think after, I think there's a drop-off significantly after Kool-Aid and Cooper DeJean to Ennis Rakestraw, the next highest corner on the board. And I think that there's a significant drop-off from Jerzon Newton to the next highest defensive tackle on the board.
Boy, I was really selling myself. There's a chance the Packers go get Byron Murphy last night.
That would have been sick.
That
would have been sick.
And just to take you back into the first round, after the Roma Dunze pick, and I know I said they got to prove it for me, but after that pick and looking around, I said, you could talk me into a corner. I was anti-corner. They got enough depth, and then you look, well.
You can just look around the NFC North, man. It's like, what the heck is going on? We're like, the Packers have this great room. It's probably the fourth best weapons, like just you know, skill position players in the division. That's not to say that they're not good.
Right.
It's just when you have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Romo Dunze, when you have Amon-Ra St. Brown,
Sam LaPorta,
Jameson Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, and then you have obviously Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkins. It's like, I mean, what are we doing here? You're going to need defensive backs, and I think that obviously that's where all the mocks to getting Cooper DeJean and or Kool-Aid McKinstry would come into play, and I totally agree with you. Yeah, you definitely need more help on the back end.
There are a couple names here I do want to mention. If the Packers don't end up with the DeJean, McKinstry, those names, the names tied to the Packers, there are a few that are a little bit lower here on Mel Kiper's best available. It's Javon Bullard from Georgia, Tyler Newbin from Minnesota, Max Melton from Rutgers, and Cole Bishop from Utah. The one that's interesting to me is Max Melton. I mentioned this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy 7-9. You can listen to that program. That's Bull Melton's brother. And Max Melton, like his brother, extremely athletic.
Yeah.
So I think there's a potential there if they don't get their preferred option, say, because here's the thing about trading, and as we found out with the Packers and the Lions yesterday, teams aren't really afraid of trading in the division anymore. So if the Lions had a deal that the Packers wanted, they would have just taken it. They traded in division. Goody says, screw it. We're taking value where value hits us. But if there's a potential, there's teams up at the top here that are going to pick and they go, hell no, I'm not trading 33, 34, 35. I want Cooper DeZean, Johnny Newton, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Yeah. I'm going to sit here. So, you know, you can only do so much in terms of, yes, I want to trade up. The Packers tried to get into the end of the first round with the Vikings, the Christian Watson.
Yep.
And they said no. So they said, okay, fine, we'll just trade back up if he sticks there. So stuff like that does happen. So I wouldn't say it's smash the panic button. Obviously, we all see the rankings here. We all see the names that kind of stick out as potential options. But Cooper DeJean falling to me is interesting. I do think his landing spot is the second round. He's simply too athletic.
Oh, yeah.
Played two. I mean, the guy had like three pick sixes in college. Like, I do think that's a name that goes early. But I do think we need to all sort of recalibrate. When the NFL tells us he's not a first-round pick, it goes, well, they've got some concerns that the people like us who are consuming Daniel Jeremiah, Mel Kiper, all of them, that kind of missed on.
Yeah, and I mean, there's obvious concerns. One, he's a bit of a tweener. Like, we don't actually know if he's an outside corner, if he's a safety, is he a nickel. We don't actually know where he fits. He's kind of a hybrid of all positions. And number two, he's coming off an injury. Mm-hmm. So there's obvious red flags there with him as a player. That doesn't mean he can't be good. That just means, okay, well, obviously they value these other corners more highly because they're just standard outside corners. They don't have an injury history, or at least not one as serious and extensive as Cooper DeJean's is as of right now. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. And also, listen, I think we just also have to, as Packers fans, just stop wishing something into existence.
Yeah.
Like, maybe the Packers just don't like Cooper DeJean. Uh-huh. Like, we ever thought that?
Yes.
Have we ever just thought, hey, maybe they just don't like him.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe they think Ennis Rakestraw or Max Melton are better than him.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just, even if Cooper DeJean's there,
right,
they will still take him. Like, that is just a matter of what we have to realize and deal with. Would it be awesome if they moved up and got Cooper DeJean? Sure. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to stay where they're at, and I think they're going to take either one of Rakestraw, Melton, one of these defensive, one of these linebackers. I just don't see them moving up at this point, considering that they could have just had him in the first round to begin with.
Of the positions that are remaining that we see up at the top end here, obviously we can rule out quarterback, probably tight end. But other than that, I think everything is sort of on the board here for the Green Bay Packers. Which position would surprise you? Because I'm looking at names like A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey.
Yeah. Yep,
I'm looking at Brandon Fisk. Is wide receiver the one that would surprise you? Would a running back surprise you as well?
No, I was going to go right to there. I was going right to wide receiver. Mm-hmm. That would be the one that would surprise me. Even though this is like the perfect spot to take a wide receiver in this class. Like, after the top three or four guys, to me, the time to take a wide receiver would be round two or three, because they're all kind of grouped together, and there's still so much talent out there, but that would still surprise me. It would not surprise me. It would surprise me if their first pick, if they took a running back here,
mm-hmm,
but it wouldn't surprise me if at any other point today they took a running back. But yeah, I think wide receiver, just considering the depth that they have at that position, how young they are, they don't really need any more young pieces, but it's, you know, it's the Packers. They could always do that.
To add a little something that came out late in the process for the Packers, Rob Domofsky said that the Packers really loved Xavier Worthy, the 165-pound wide receiver.
Yeah, speaking of
– fastest guy ever.
Speaking of teams not training within division, how about the Bills trading with the Chiefs to allow them to get Tyreek Hill 2.0? Brilliant move by the Bills. Yeah, but – I mean, who wouldn't be excited about a guy who was that fast?
The Xavier Worthy, when I heard that and how much the Packers love them, I was ready to smash the I'm upset button, just because 165 pounds. You want to know what percentile that is in terms of weight for wide receivers?
2%.
Zero.
Oh. I thought maybe there was like one guy.
No.
Not even one guy.
No. So to me, you can obviously tell yourself the story about Xavier Worthy as being, well, he is.
Well, here's
the thing. Tyreek Hill 2.0.
Well, here's the thing. If he's on any other team, he's probably John Ross 2.0.
Yeah.
But now he's on the Chiefs, so he's Tyreek Hill 2.0.
You could make the case, but also you could make the case where the guy just can't stay on the field because safeties are going to be 40, 50 pounds heavier than him. So that's a problem. So I am glad the Packers passed there, but there are plenty of names left. Like Ladd McConkey is a name that...
Yep. And he's the guy that fits, too, because like he could just sit right there in a slot. You could put everybody else on the outside.
I do think the Packers will try and find a burner, so a replacement for Christian Watson. And not that they plan week one, Christian Watson's going to be on the sideline watching Devontae Walker, is that his name, from North Carolina.
Yep.
I do think their insurance plan. Basically, they know they need that option, and we've seen it. When Christian Watson's on the field, he makes a difference. When he makes plays, that aspect of the Green Bay Packers offense is very important. So I wouldn't be surprised if in second, third round, they find one of those guys they view as just kind of a plug and play. If things go wrong, break glass, and we play this guy to kind of just run straight down the field. So coming up next, we're going to do something a little fun. We did our mock draft, which I think we should – here's what we're going to do. We're going to review our mock draft against what happened yesterday. We're going to talk about the things we got right, the things we got wrong, and then we're going to do a simulated mock of the second and third round. This is the Starter Pack. We learned a valuable lesson last night and the intervening week. As the loyal listeners to the Starter Pack know, we did a mock draft last week. We did it with the information we knew, some of the things we had seen. And then everything changed over the course of a week. The Drake May second overall had changed completely by, Saturday, I believe?
Yes.
That became clear that was kind of a smokescreen sent out, was inaccurate. So I think next year we're going to push it even closer to the draft time, maybe even just do our own full special mock draft episode. But I want to go over here and look at some of the picks that we made last week and how they ended up turning around. There's some here that were pretty good for us, some that I'm proud of us for nailing kind of right in the right region, too, for a lot of these guys. Some of it we ate the trash on. Some of it we didn't. The first one that sticks out is the flip-flopping. We had a Drake May, Jaden Daniels. We all know that was sort of something that was going to change course. It had changed by the time we did it. Marvin Harrison, we nailed.
Yep.
Joe Alt, we nailed.
Yep.
Established the run, as we said. Then we had J.J. McCarthy going to the New York Giants, which at the time had been rumored. It seems like now that kind of was a little bit of smoke from the Giants for what they actually wanted here. But still, we were on the beat of him being the third QB, fourth QB off the board. We did also nail how many QBs were going to be drafted. Did we get Bo Nix in here?
No, we did not.
Oh, I thought for sure we had Bo Nix in there.
Yeah.
And then there's kind of something that went off the rails was 14 consecutive offensive players gone.
Unbelievable.
And that is where we were kind of way off on, to put it simply. It's hard to predict something that's never happened before. It was the most offensive players ever drafted in the first round. It was the first time there was, four quarterbacks in the top five?
Yeah.
So
and six in the first 12.
Yes.
I mean, it was unbelievable. And
it was five in the top 10. First time there had been five quarterbacks drafted in the top 10.
Yeah, and six in the top 12. And what really blew my mind was, the thing was, the one spot where you're like, okay, somebody's taking a defensive player here was Atlanta at 8.
Yeah.
And they took a quarterback.
Yes,
so it's just like, all right, what are we doing here? And then that's kind of got the ball rolling to push it even further for the first defensive player to come off the board.
The thing I am proud about Penix is we had him at 11th to the Vikings. I think that was just good following the information where quarterbacks just get pushed up. We didn't have Bo Nix at 12. We had Roma Dunze there. And then we have sort of the defensive players that stopped going off the board. Latu did end up going before Dallas Turner, which we had 8th overall. Mm. So there's a lot of good things to take from this. We really only have 2 or 3 picks that didn't end up as first-round picks. Pat on the back to me. I did have Jordan Morgan 31st overall.
Yep.
We mocked him to the San Francisco 49ers. A.D. Mitchell was a guy I would have not put on this draft. There was the news about him being sort of a guy that everyone thought was going to go higher, I believe I said.
I'll tell you what, dude, was amazing.
Graham Barton.
Yeah, Graham Barton. And also right after that, Darius Robinson to Atlanta, Arizona. I mean, that was pretty good. Now look at us. I mean, honestly, when you get later in the draft, that's when it becomes way harder. Mm-hmm. Like, the top five is usually generally pretty easy to do. So anytime you get two or three guys like that late in the process, I mean, that's a W. We're taking that.
Yeah, we had some good signs here that, you know, the things turned out in a way that kind of we saw. We weren't perfect. No one is really perfect. But there are a few perfect hits on this board. Pretty much everyone you'd want to see is here. Any of these other picks kind of – we have Keon Coleman, who is still out there. We have Kool-Aid McKinstry, who is still out there. A.D. Mitchell.
Cooper DeJean. Jackson Powers Johnson. Yeah,
but – like Mims, we were kind of right on the right area there.
Yep.
DeJean was a little bit too high. Terrion Arnold, we had much higher than we expected. Another thing I would have flipped too in here, knowing what we know now, is flipping Fashanu with J.C. Latham. That became really clear.
Yes.
He was going to be one of the top picks off the board there. So.
Especially if we stuck with Joe Alt there at five.
Yeah.
It was always going to be Latham at seven.
Yeah, exactly.
It was always going to be Latham at seven.
Yeah, so all in all, it was a good run for us on the first time. We are going to move that to either the Wednesday or Thursday right before the draft next season, just because I think we can get even more accurate. Obviously, it's hard to plan out trades and all that, but pat on the back to us. Not a bad run here. What we are going to do now, though, is, Max, I'm going to have you pull it up because I think you have the PFF subscription, is we are going to mock the Packers picks for their next four picks on the board here. The PFF software is going to do the rest of it. We're not going to go through all second and third round picks, frankly, because there's going to start being names that I've seen, but I don't know type of deal.
Where it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly quick.
All those names in the first round, I didn't see a name where I go, who? Who is that?
Right.
There was no, what was the, help me out here, the Patriots took an offensive lineman who was like 26.
Oh, Cole Strange?
Yes, Cole Strange. There was no Cole Strange that popped up in this draft. So
maybe it's because Bill Belichick was doing Pat McAfee's show and started drafting.
Yeah, for a draft that started out as pretty chalk, I think the entertainment factor was certainly there for me throughout the first round. You kind of started watching it happen, and you're going, yeah. And then eight happens, and everything goes off the
window.
Yeah,
when eight happened, my heart was, I was like, this is the greatest draft of all time.
So we're going to start off the mock here. The Packers do have pick 41 in the second round.
Yep.
Max, I'm going to have you take us through kind of some of the guys that go ahead of the Packers right away, and we'll go from there.
Well, the three guys that I talked about that we're probably going to go ahead have already gone. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeJean and Jerzon Newton are all gone already by this point. Zach Frazier, A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey also gone. So at this point, we're looking at the linebackers. None of them have been taken yet.
Mm-hmm.
So between Peyton Wilson, Edgerrin Cooper, those guys are still there. At corner, you're looking at Max Melton. You're looking at Ennis Rakestraw. Those guys are still there. Offensive line, I know that this guy, I don't know if he fits the threshold, but Jackson Powers Johnson, if you're looking.
He does fit.
He is the top guy on the board, according to PFF, and does fit what would have been an immediate need.
Yeah.
So I think when you're looking at those positions, that's kind of what you're looking at this point.
A
defensive tackle, Braden Fisk, is still there. Chris Jenkins from Michigan is still there.
So to me, this is – I don't know if the Packers are going to draft a straight-up center. Even though he does fit the thresholds, he could be viewed as interior guy can play. To me, this is between Fisk or Cooper, Edgerrin Cooper to me. What are you thinking?
I tend to agree. Yeah. I think that they're going to go defense with this first pick here. They already went offensive line. I would probably lean toward Cooper, considering he is the top linebacker in the draft. Like, no linebacker has been taken yet. Mm-hmm. So, positional value, he's the top guy.
All right, let's go ahead and make that pick.
All right.
The next pick for the Packers here is not far away in the bottom second. This is their actual own second-round pick. Just give me the five guys taken ahead of the Packers pick here, if you could.
Braden Fisk is gone. Chris Jenkins is gone. Javon Bullard is gone. Blake Corum and Jonathan Brooks also gone, if you're looking
Blake
at
Blake Corum, interesting.
Yes.
What do we got for top offensive linemen remaining there?
So on the interior of the offensive line, Cooper Beebe from Kansas State, Christian Haynes, Mason McCormick. Those are the main guys. Zach Zinter, still there, obviously. Offensive tackle, you've got Kieran. I'm not even attempt to try to pronounce that name.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Brandon Coleman, Blake Fisher. So that's your interior tackles.
So I think the Packers are going to go early. I don't know if it's now because there are a few guys they like. Did Max Melton go?
Let's see. I believe he is. Yep, Max Melton went pretty soon after your first pick.
And did you say Bullard also went?
He is gone as well.
Interesting here.
They took a lot of our guys.
What is on the is Nealon still there, or did he go as well?
Let me see here. I believe he is still here.
Edge rusher.
He is there, yep.
I think that's probably the pick. I could make a case for Mason McCormick, the guy I mentioned earlier in the show. He is a guard who could also kind of move around. But he's a guy the Packers had in for a top 30 visit. He is a guy who fits their thresholds, and he is a guy who is, frankly, massive. And can kind of do similar. He is 6'3", 267. So he's not your typical edge rusher. He's closer to like a Lucas Van Ness style guy who could play inside and outside, which, as we know about the Packers, they like guys that play
sure
multiple
do.
Positions.
Yeah.
So that would be the pick for me there, or McCormick, unless you got someone else that sticks out.
No, I love it. Let's go with it.
Let's go Marshawn Nealon to the Packers with their second pick in the second round. Moving on, we now have the Packers. First up is going to be the
88th pick.
That is the pick they got in the Rasul Douglas trade. The five names that went ahead of them, we're probably going to start getting into some names where the listeners are going, who exactly is that? But at least it gives us a good idea.
Yeah, so actually these are pretty fun names. A couple wide receivers, Jalen McMillan from Washington, Malik Washington from Virginia, Ray Davis, the running back from Kentucky, Trey Benson, the running back from Florida State, Devontaze Walker, the wide receiver who we talked about from North Carolina, all gone. If you're looking at guys who are on the board, there's a couple running backs, Bucky Irving, Marshawn Lloyd. At wide receiver, you've got Javon Baker. You've got Jamari Thrash, Jacob Cowling. It kind of falls off pretty quickly at that position. Other positions of need, cornerback Kyree Jackson, edge Javon Solomon, guard Sylvain Cooper Beebe. There's a couple guys here hanging around.
So I think the Packers are going to invest another offensive lineman. I also do think that safety position.
Mason McCormick is available.
I think the pick's Mason McCormick.
Yeah.
That's a guy that is an athletic freak, plays multiple positions. He fits within their thresholds. It might be a little bit early for him, but if you want a guy like this is a guy where I'm kind of just filling in a blank here. This is a name that could be Dominic Pooney, Cedric Van Pran, Zach Zinter.
Yep, Cedric is here as well.
The name you couldn't pronounce, Kieran, Blake Fisher, Roger Rosengart. Like, those are all names here. I'm just taking kind of the guy that's most available because I do think the Packers are going to go back to the well because even though they added one in the first round, they still got positions to fill there. And if the draft turns out the way I think it does, they want Rashid Walker to be a premium swing tackle. Whereas if any of those guys go down, He can easily slot in for them and become an instant kind of fill the gap here. The other position of interest to me would be...
Now, they do pick three picks later.
Yes.
So a lot of these guys are still going to
yes,
be here.
Yes, is a defensive line, a guy up the middle. So maybe we'll look at that for the next pick.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and snag Mason McCormick here, who's 95th on PFF's board, 93rd average draft position. So this is like right where he would
go.
Yes,
yeah.
All right, so now they're back up here at 91. Let's look at the interior of the defensive line. Michael Hall Jr. from Ohio State, Tavondre Sweat from Texas are the top two guys on the board there. If we want to keep looking at other positions, running backs still have Bucky Irving, Marshawn Lloyd there. If that's where
what we've got. So I think we can look here at cornerback and safety.
Yep.
And then I also think the defensive line is another spot with an outside chance of this pick being a running back or wide receiver as well.
Okay, so let's look at the safety position first, since that's a massive position of need. You've got Dadrion Taylor-Demerson from Texas Tech.
He fits the thresholds.
Carmen Kinchins from Miami. Tyreek Smith from Georgia. Those are the top three guys. Sione Vaki from Utah, Cole Bishop from Utah as well. At corner, Kalen Carson, Jerrion Jones, Chris Abrams, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. are the top guys.
So the names that fit are Jerrion Jones, the Taylor Demerson, Tyke Smith, Renardo Green also, and then at the defensive line position is Michael Hall, Brandon Dorlus, Mekki Wingo. But let's take a quick peek at the running back and wide receiver to see if there are any names there that intrigue us.
Well, I mean, immediately there's two guys at running back that intrigue me, Bucky Irving and Marshawn Lloyd. I really, really like Marshawn Lloyd. If I were them, that would be the place I would go if I were going that position. At wide receiver, Jacob Cowing is an interesting player. Anais Smith, a Texas A&M wide receiver, is a fun player to watch. After that, it drops off. It's slim pickings.
So Marshawn Lloyd does fit the Packers' needs. We need to determine here, are we going running back with this pick, or are they going to be happy kind of trying to get someone lower on the board? Or do we just kind of go Michael Hall or one of these safeties?
I think if you're going to go outside of running back, Taylor Demerson is the top guy on the board here, according to PFF. He fits, like you said, the threshold. That's the biggest position of need.
Yeah.
I think that's where you would go.
Well, let's make that pick then.
Boom.
Alrighty, Max, run down our picks here at each of the spots in the second and third round.
Okay. So, in the second round with our first pick, we took the linebacker from Texas A&M, Edgerrin Cooper. With our second pick in the second round, we took Marshawn Neyland, the edge rusher from Western Michigan. In the third round, our first pick, we took Mason McCormick, the guard from South Dakota State. I think that was probably our best pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then with our next third-round pick, we took the safety, Dadrion Taylor-Demerson from Texas Tech. PFF did not like our draft.
No?
They gave us a C+ because they hated the Edgerrin Cooper pick. They despised it.
Yeah, that's sort of a value thing for them.
They think the linebackers are worthless,
yes.
Therefore the pick stinks.
Yes. So that'll do it. That is our second and third round draft pick here. Today's an important day. Brian Gutekunst said it's a very important day in Packers history for them. The Packers are going to find some players that you probably are going to see throughout the entire season, some guys that fill some massive needs. It'll be interesting to look back to see if any of the guys we picked are guys the Packers end up picking tonight. Don't forget to tune in tonight starting at 6 o'clock or 6:30. I can't remember. We got some conflicts going on there. But myself, Alex Strofe, who you heard in the first segment, and Gabe Neitzel will be doing the full second and third round. We'll be taking through the trades.
the picks the Packers make and sort of the options available to them when they do come up. For Max, I am Josh. This has been the Starter Pack.